Let's go back to this whole concept of, and I want to just focus in on us, those of us who are believers, because I tell you, one of the things that I've discovered is this, that the enemy works overtime to judge us and to cause us to judge ourselves. And so it's important for us to look at what the scripture says. What shall we say then to this? Romans 8 and verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, he's talking about life in the Spirit. And I said I was going to come back to Romans 8 and verse 2. For the law of the Spirit has made us free from the law of sin and death. The law of Moses was designed to reveal man's sinfulness and to pass the judgment of death on him. If you're God and you promulgate a law, you have got the power to enforce that law. He said to Adam and Eve, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Satan said to Eve, you will not die. They ate of the fruit, and they therefore by their action brought the judgment upon themselves that God had promulgated when he said, you shall not eat thereof. And then when he comes to the law of Moses, he enforces the law of Moses because he has the power to do so. And the penalty of failure to keep the law of Moses, again, is death. The soul that sins, it shall die. And so we come to these verses, the verse in verse Romans 8, 2, he says, there's a superior law that has now been enacted, and that is the law of the Spirit. And what does the Spirit do? Has he come to convict us? Has he come to manipulate us with guilt, shame, and fear to cause us to change our behavior? No, the law of the Spirit is such a superior law because what he does is he points to the fact that now, because you have believed in Jesus, you have his life, you have eternal life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Satan, though, doesn't want you to believe that you are completely free, to just embrace the life that is in Jesus, and he'll keep on harping on your behavior, trying to get you to modify your behavior, to change your behavior, to try to be righteous in your own strength, and so on. And when he does that, death comes back on you. It just is a deadly place to live, is living under that law. No, we have come into the law of the Spirit. And God is able to enforce the law of the Spirit just as much as he was able to enforce the law of Moses. He's enforcing the law of the Spirit, which is pointing to life that is ours in Christ Jesus. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet no longer I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My life is in Jesus. There's so many verses in the New Testament we could talk to. That's where my life now is. And that's the law of the Spirit. Anytime you turn toward the Spirit, what does 2 Corinthians 3:18 say? When anyone turns to the Spirit who is the Lord, the veil is removed. And we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. When you turn to the Spirit is able to do the transformation in you so that you are transformed from the glory of the old covenant into the glory of the new covenant, which is a reflection of the glory of Jesus. As long as you're looking into that old covenant, you're looking into a fading glory, and you're going to experience that all that you pursue under the old covenant fades. It all doesn't satisfy. It doesn't resolve itself. It's a continual pursuit that is meaningless because God is not enforcing the law of Moses anymore. That's what you demonstrated when you were baptized. The handwriting of ordinances that was against you was taken out of the way, was nailed to his cross, and you entered into death. And so no longer are you under that law at all. You're under grace, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, following his teaching on baptism.